I preach this word today because I believe at the moment we are in a season where God is opening doors. And he's opening doors. And he's opening doors for people. And there are doors that this scripture says, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. You have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Previous verse says, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. There are doors, and doors are doors of opportunity that God himself opens for his people at certain times. Paul speaks about such a door. He speaks about many times these sort of doors. If you go to 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, in his missionary endeavors, Paul was trying to reach out. And sometimes you'll find in Acts chapter 16, there was a closed door because God closes doors to us. We're going to be aware that he closes door. In Acts chapter 16, it says, as they came to Mysia, they tried to go through, but the Spirit did not permit them. And after they stopped, they had a dream and a vision, and the Spirit said, go to Macedonia. So they were trying to go into Asia, and it was a closed door. God was closing that door, and he opened a new door into Macedonia. And when Paul was going to Ephesus, he described it in 1 Corinthians 16, 9, as a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So there was a door open to him, and it was a door for new fruitfulness. It was a door for the kingdom of God to expand. And he says, and there were many adversaries. I want to speak to you today. When God opens a door, ever heard the word, my daughter loves to bedazzle. She just loves jewelry. She loves to bedazzle. And so at home, Cara's doors were always bedazzled. The others weren't. And what I've noticed when in the flesh, the doors that we want to go through, often they are bedazzled. They're the wrong doors to go through. They are closed doors. They're the things that appeal to our human nature. But the doors God is calling us to go through, the doors that God opens, often are not bedazzled. And in fact, they have adversaries. There is opposition. That's why opposition and giants that come against you are always a good sign. They are always a sign of breakthrough. Goliath was David's greatest blessing because he was prophesied that he would be a king and he was in a panic. But Goliath, the giant, when he appeared, took him from the panic to the palace. It was a door, but there was a giant that stood before he went through that new door. You see the same thing in the promised land. Joshua was about to go into his destiny, the door of his destiny. And before he got to the door of his destiny, there's always giants. There's always Jerichos before he goes through the promised door. And Paul says, I'm going through this new door and there are adversaries. So when you're moving into the plan of God, when God is opening a new door, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easy. Opposition is a sign that you're moving in the direction God's... Because if you're anointed and appointed and called by God, the enemy knows it. The enemy will plan things to stop you. The enemy will put things in your way. But it's confirmation. The opposition is confirmation. It's not discouragement. So it's confirmation that you are moving in the right direction with God. Revelation chapter 2, sorry, chapter 3, John writes, the doors that God opens are supernatural doors. And when he opens, no man can close them. And when he shuts, they're shut. And often when God opens a door, when you go through a door, God opens, and it could be a door. God can open a door for you in your workplace. God can open a door in your ministry. God can open a door in a relationship. It's an opportunity that God is creating through his power, that God is making a way for you where often there is no human way. There is no way forward, but God himself makes a way. And often when he makes that way, when you know it's God makes that way, it's often it's impossible. You get a door open that you thought you could never get through. And when you go through that door, it stays open. And I think about the door when Israel was at the Red Sea. They were staring at defeat. The Red Sea was before them. There were mountains either side. The enemy was bearing down before them. They had nowhere to go. They're about to be destroyed. But God opened a door of deliverance for them. And what's interesting, when he opened the door of deliverance, the same God who opened that door stayed open while God's people escaped. And yet when the enemy tried to go through and pursue them, that door closed and destroyed their enemies. So when you go through a door that God is opening for you, God will go through it with you, God will protect you, and God will close the door on enemies. The enemy who tries to pursue you as you go after the things of God, God himself will close the door on the enemy. And the enemy, although he wants to get you, will not be able to touch you. I love the book of Isaiah because it's a prophetic book of the end times. Isaiah 55:45 speaks about how God goes before us. Speaks about Cyrus. God says, I'll go before you. This is what God says. This is how I'm going to make you successful, Cyrus, in your mission. To Cyrus, my right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the doors will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of iron and the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness. So there is God calling Cyrus, and Cyrus is God's agent. God's going to use him for his purposes in this season, even though he didn't know it. And God says, I'm going to open for you the double doors. And I'm going to break the bars of iron. Because when God opens a door for you, even if they're iron, even if it looks impossible, his power will accomplish it and he will go ahead of you before he opens the door. So every door you go through which God himself has opened, he has already gone through it for you and prepared it for you. There are doors that God opens for his people that brings deliverance. There are doors of opportunity that God brings to his people for mission. There are doors which we might call, you heard the term windows of opportunity. But when God opens a door, there's reasons he opens a door. There's reasons he opens a door for you. And there's reasons he opens a door for a church. There's reasons he will open a door for you tomorrow. There's reasons he will give you an opportunity that nobody else is going to get. There's reasons he will open possibilities for you in your future that he's not going to open for your neighbor. God is very, very purposeful. God is very, very deliberate. And he opens doors. He didn't open the door for the church at Smyrna. He didn't open the door for the one at Laodicea. He opened the door for the church at Philadelphia for a reason. He'll open a door in your life for a reason. The reason he opened the door is this. The reason God always opens a door is this. He says, I know, verse 8, I know your works. See, I set before you an open door. No one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I know your works. In Christianity today, we've so fallen under the gospel, what I call cheap grace, that works have become like a dirty word. The work of prayer, the work, if you can say, I'm going to have a vigil, I'm going to pray through the night. Even some pastors will say, what do you do that for? That's just works. It's not works. The whole scripture tells us to seek God. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. God is like a lover who likes to be pursued. And the Bible says, it speaks clearly about having a warning against having a faith without works. It says there is a faith you can have, a faith just believing in God like he exists, like the demons exist. He exists. I'm a believer. He says even the devil exists, but he says there is a faith that doesn't save. He says a faith without works is dead. And the evidence that we are alive to God is that there will always be works. And it's so critical because if you go to Revelation chapter 19, it speaks about the wedding feast, which is coming very soon, church. There is a wedding feast. When the church is taken, when the church is raptured, there is a wedding feast. And it says in this wedding feast, verse 7 of Revelation chapter 9, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. How has she made herself ready? And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous works of the saints. So your works of believing God are your wedding garment. And why that's so critical, if you go to Matthew 22 and Jesus told a parable of a wedding feast where everybody came to the wedding, but one person was put out of the wedding. Why were they put out of the wedding? Because they did not have a wedding garment. They were someone who had faith without works. So works, the works that we do, not in working for God, But it's actually we work from God. We work not because we're loved. We work because we are loved by Him. The works, John says, right? I know your works. Because of your works, I have set you before you an open door. There are works that God sees that people don't see, but He sees in private. And he rewards us with open doors. And he says, the works of the Philadelphian church, which resulted in God opening a door for them that no man could shut, gave them an opportunity to go out and preach the gospel, to do what others could not do. The works that they did, what were they? It says here, you have a little strength. You have a little strength. Often we feel like we only have a little strength. You know why God gives us a little strength? So he gets the glory and his power can be manifested. And where we fail is where we look inwardly at our own weaknesses instead of outwardly at who is with us. But he says, you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. What is it to be someone who keeps the word of God? What is it to be someone who keeps the word of God? Because God opened the door for these people because he could trust them. God gives favor to people he can trust. God opens doors with people he can trust. And these people, God says, I'm going to use you because I've tested you and I've seen your works that you keep my word. What does it mean then to, what did they do that they kept the word of God? I tell you what it means. If you're someone who keeps the word of God, you're someone who the way you lead your family, the way you lead your business, the way you lead your private life is that the word of God is the sole authority of what you do. Is that you do what you do because the word of God tells you to do it. To keep my word. And one of the things about this same-sex marriage debate when it was all on a couple of years ago, the Lord said to me when it was all over, it was not really about marriage. God was actually testing his people as to see who would stand with the word of God. Who would stand with the word? Who would keep the values that come from this book, what God says, how do we order our life, how do we order our world? Who would keep it? Who would be loyal to the word of God? God says to you, honor your parents. You says, but they're not worthy of honor. God sees when we keep the word of God. We honor them because the word of God says that to honor them, not because they are worthy. God says, forgive. 70 times 7 times. You says, I've been wounded. God sees when you forgive. God says, be a peacemaker. When you keep, when you keep this book as your plumb line, there is no way that you can be loyal to God and not loyal to the Word, because He is the Word become flesh. You know, no way you could love Jesus and not love the Word, because He is the Word. So every time you actually deny your flesh, you say no to the world, you say no to this opportunity, because the Word of God says, I've got to go this way. Every time you, God, you do that, that is something the Lord sees, and He is positioning every person who honors His Word to be someone who He will open a door for. The second thing they did, they kept the Word and they did not deny His name. And what is deny His name? What's that all about? That's all about witnessing. The Bible says that there is no other name under earth given by men by which we must be saved. That as we declare the name of Jesus, there's only one way to be saved. This is what God wants His people to be saved. Listen to it. There is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. We must be saved. That God wants His people to be concerned primarily about salvation. People must be saved. And our message on our lips is that you must be saved, because there's no way sinners can get into heaven. Otherwise, heaven will not remain heaven. But God has provided a Savior, and His name is Jesus. You must receive Jesus. He has given this name, Jesus, the one who saves. He has come in the flesh, and you need to receive Him to be saved. As you speak that word, as you declare the gospel, as you share the gospel, speak into people's eternal destiny, and salvation becomes your priority, God sees it. And we live in an age now where a lot of Christians, they did a survey in Christianity, what's that magazine? Today, Christianity Today, they did a survey, and they said 70% of Christians in the workplace today are closet Christians. And that means that if we're closet Christians, if we don't declare that we are Christians, that we have been saved and that others need to be saved, we are denying His name. But when we declare His name and when we keep His word, it is so simple. God looks at a church and he looks at a people and He says, I can trust them. I can trust them. I can trust them. And you know what? Before God opens a door for anybody, God, He takes us through these tests. He'll see how we live. He will see, put temptation before us, and He'll see how we handle it, whether we're going to keep His word. And He'll see whether we testify that there is a Savior in Jesus. He'll actually test us and see us, and He'll often put a giant before us just before He's about to open a door. How do we know that? Just look at Joseph. Joseph was a man of destiny, but destiny is not enough. God had to open the door for him. He was in a prison pit and he had a dream. And it was totally impossible for him to get to be where his dream said him, to be the prime minister of Egypt. He was in prison, and what God had shown him was totally impossible. I want to tell you, when God puts a dream in your heart, it's not going to be doable, it's not going to be normal, it's going to be totally impossible to your flesh. Real dreams, real visions of God, real ministries at God's birth, they're never possible in the flesh. They're always impossible, so that when He does it, He gets the glory. When it comes to fruition, you know it's all God. And there was Joshua, there was Joseph in the prison. He was in the prison. What was he doing in the prison? Before he even got into the prison, he was put in a pit. Then he was put in Potiphar's house. And Psalm 105:7 says, before the door opened to Joshua, to Joseph, before God opened the door for him into his destiny, it says, the word of God tested Joseph. The word of God tested him. And he was tested when he was alone with Potiphar's wife. Would he keep the word of God? Would he keep God's words? Or would he walk the world's way? He was tested whether he would remain chaste and pure as the word of God commanded him to remain. He was tested when his brothers put him in a pit. Would he forgive them or would he become bitter? Isn't it interesting? This word says, indeed, because you kept my word, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews that are not, I'll make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. What happened to Joseph? His brothers, who acted like believers at one stage but were not, in the end they come and bowed at his feet. God not only opened a door, but he kept the fullness of his word. His brothers came and bowed at his feet. And they will know that I have loved you. Here's the works. The works are to keep my word. The works are that you have not denied my name. The third works in verse 10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of trial. Persevering doing the word, persevering being a witness for Christ. Persevering just simply means to endure and to not give up. Sometimes you're battling. God's called you into something. God's called you into a battle. God's called you to go somewhere and do something. And sometimes you'll think, has God really called me to this? Because I don't seem to be winning at first. Many times when God sends you somewhere, you don't seem to be winning at first because the door he opens when you get there, there are adversaries. And it doesn't turn out like you planned. But this is where we need perseverance. There's a time in Israel's history where they were told to go up to war against the Benjamites. God said, I'm opening a door of delivery and victory against the Benjamites. And he sent all the other tribes up to fight them. And they fought. The first victory, they lost 30,000 men. And they went out again. They said, gosh, God, you've sent us here to get victory of deliverance. And they fought again. And they lost another 20-odd thousand men. And they came back and they lay on their faces and they said, God, all we know is that you sent us here. But the enemy was fighting against God's plan. There were adversaries in front of them. And the third time they went up, they got total victory. And God's plans are often like that. He will send you somewhere to do something. He will open a door for you. And as Paul said, the door has been opened, but there are many adversaries. And to get through the season of victory, there has to be something in us that says we are going to persevere. We are going to do the word of God. We are going to continue to do the word of God. We are not going to deny Christ. We're going to continue in persevering with what he's called me to do. And God actually watches and sees our loyalty to him. He sees our commitment to the word. He sees that we do what we're being called to do, preach Christ to the world. And sooner or later, God says to me, I can trust those people. Now their character is right. The door can be opened because their character can carry the anointing which I'm going to use them in. And I don't feel to preach long today. I don't feel to preach long at all, but I do feel like God is actually saying to the church, this is a season where he is going to open doors. This is a season where God is going to open doors, he's going to release people. But let me tell you, when God opens a door, there's something else that he's needed to finish. Yes, there's a reason why he does open it. But because of adversaries, when God opens a door, there's often an issue. And he says to start this chapter by saying, he who has the key of David and opens and no one shuts. When God opens the door to go through, sometimes all you know is God is sending me there or God is releasing me into this. I've got to go that way for God. I just know this is God's will for me. I've got to go that way. This is good. It's so important when they open that faith comes into play. Because if faith doesn't come in, you never get anywhere. Faith must come in because of the giants. Faith must come in because when the door opens, there are going to be giants, and sometimes there's like a giant of lack. God says to you, I want you to go through this open door. I want to tell you, the first time I was sent to Pakistan, God says, I want you to go through this open door, but there's no money for it. These people need money for this crusade. These people want money for this. These people want money for that. And I've got none. And we think, I've got to wait for the provision to come. I've got to wait for the protection to come. Then I'll go through the open door. But God doesn't work like that. God is a God who honors faith. When we go through the door, God opens by faith. As they went through the door and they went into the promised land, Jericho fell when faith was acted. And when we go forward into the things that God's called us to do, his provision always follows his purpose. So as we by faith go through those doors that God has opened, when we just ignore the giants and say, all I know is that God is with me, his power is released, and he who has the key of David, that speaks about the treasury, when he sees that we're moving, he then releases the provision and the protection after we move. After we move. But I want to tell you, many people God has opened doors for in the past, and because they're not in the spirit, they don't walk through them. They'll sit there and they'll say, but I don't have this and I don't have that and I need this and I see the problem there and I see this issue there and I see that giant there. God says, get up, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Am I not with you? It wasn't until Joshua put his foot in the Jordan that the Jordan stopped. And when God is with you and he calls you to go through that open door, I want to tell you, all that had to happen with Joshua is to say, all I know, God's opened a door into Canaan. All I know is that God is with me. All I know is that I've heard from heaven, I'm going that way. And as he walks saying, God is with me, that's all I know is God is, I'm obeying God. I'm walking through that open door. Every Jericho and giant in front of him fell by faith as he walked through that door. I'm really preaching bad today, but I want to tell you, there's a word here. There is a word here that God is actually saying to somebody here, and he's saying to the church, this is the season when if God is speaking to you, you know, sometimes I think the church has been so passive for so long, God's people, that we get in this mode of, the Bible tells me to wait on God. And so I've waited on God. We wait on God. We wait on God. We wait on God. But you're not supposed to wait forever. You're not supposed to wait forever. There comes a time of activation. I believe God is saying to the church and to some people here individually, there's a time of activation. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem, then go. Waiting's only for a season, but there is a time when God is actually looks at you and he says, I've seen you wait. I've seen you've kept my word. I've seen you've not denied my name. I've seen your perseverance. Now I'm opening a door and you need to activate. You need to walk through it, believing for what I've promised you, believing that I am with you. Actually, all you need to do is believe that I am with you because I'll do everything that I've promised. And as you walk into what God is calling you, as you walk into it, trusting, all I know is God is with me. That's all I know is that God is open and he is with me. That's all I need. I want to tell you, he'll make it work. He'll deal with every giant. He'll deal with every enemy. And he'll make you more fruitful. He will make you more fruitful. So I just, you can sit there and miss it. You can sit there and miss. This is what the Holy Spirit just said to me. Oh, it's a good one. The opportunity of a lifetime. There is a lifetime to that opportunity. Did you hear it? The opportunity of a lifetime for God, a door that God opens. There's a lifetime that you've got to go through it. Yeah, it'll stay open. When you go through it, it stays open. I remember when I first went to Pakistan, they said, you'll only go here 2 or 3 times. I'll never give you a visa. I've been there 10 times. The door is still open. And the reason it's open, because no man can shut it. It's not a human thing. God keeps it open. So I feel like God is actually saying to you, there's a new season of opportunities. You've been prepared for a time such as this. Maybe it's if you're in business, you're in business to fund the kingdom. That's why God put you in business. Maybe there's going to be another venture, something that God is calling you, but it's going to require faith to step through that door. Somebody, God say, you've got to go through that door. Don't fear, I am with you. Maybe it's somebody who's been prepared for a marriage. And you're saying, well, maybe. Maybe I should do it. Maybe I should. Well, if God's saying he's opened doors in this time. Maybe it's a ministry you've been prepared for. You're waiting on God. Obeying him, yielding, being consistent, persevering. God is saying, now's your time. I'm going to bring a harvest of fish. I'm going to bring a harvest of souls through you. There's always going to be a giant. New door is open. There's many adversaries. That adversary, that giant, where that situation of lack is evidence. It's actually evidence that it's a door God's opened. The doors are never bedazzled. There's always a giant. There's always an adversary. But God says to somebody here, fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I'm with you. Arise and shine.